Okay, tonight's shiur and every shiur throughout the rest of the summer, which is, by the way, only three more shiurim after tonight, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, Be'ez Hashem, next week, is sponsored by Ben Yael Englander, the Zechus for Shlema, for Zacharia Kalman, Ben Yael Margalit. Sunday we'll have. I don't know, is there interest in Sunday? Are we going to have guys? Yeah, three, four guys at least, three, four, something like that. Okay, yeah, so I got two nods at least. Okay, so. So we'll try. We're in the middle of an Inyan, I think, in Yerodea, so we've got to at least finish that Inyan. So Sunday there will be Shira. I'll open up the building regular time, 9:15, 9:30-ish Sunday morning. We'll have Shira at 12. Okay, anyhow, but last night we discussed Tevila of electronic Kalim, we basically, just to outline what the basic Shitos are. So Shita number one that we saw were, there are those that just say there's nothing you could do. It's chayv in tevila, and that's it. And that's the end of the story. And if you're going to break it, you'll break it. If it won't break, then it won't break. But you got to do tevila, and there's no way out. Others were a little more helpful in terms of coming up with possible etzas. One possible etza was suggested, that the famous etza of the Chalkas Yaakov of Breish we saw, was that if it's a kli that can only function while it's plugged in, that maybe it has a status of mechuber lekarka. The reason that etza was not particularly helpful, was not overly helpful, was that it doesn't help us for urns, for things that actually do function in some way when they're not plugged in. It may not heat up the water when it's not plugged in, but it certainly holds the water when it's not plugged in. We saw, so that didn't help a great deal, but then Breish gave a whole bunch of other possibilities. And one suggestion that's made by several poskim is to sell to be makna the kli to a guy and then borrow it from the guy forever. We pointed out the problem with that is that it doesn't seem that such a harama should really work on a din d'oraisa. Another possible etza was to somehow plug the area where the water goes in to the wiring, and if you plug it with something moist, then maybe it's not going to be chatzitza in the tevila. And we pointed out Rav Shechter's shita is that it doesn't require tevila. Any kli that's going to break by being tovelit won't require tevila. But we pointed out that even according to those who do require tevila, the Kira coffee machine is safe. We're not going to have to worry about that because there's no metal on it anywhere except for the pin that punctures the hole, which is ki'ilu, a can opener, and the coil that heats the water, which is a coil, which we saw all the poskim, the Betzal HaChachma and others. I don't know if we actually saw them, but we mentioned at the very end last night, they all hold that it's like a gacheles. It doesn't have a din of a kli, even it just has a din of a gacheles. It has a din of a coal, of a fire itself, and therefore we're not required to feel. Also, like hot plates are non-issue, because why are hot plates a non-issue? It doesn't touch food, right? You just put the pans on top of the hot plate. I just saw in the Sefer Tefillas Kelim, I was going through his list, he has a Perek Yud Aleph of the Sefer Tefillas Kelim, is a list of something like 180 or so different types of Kelim and what their tevila status is. So I was just like running through the list. And so like refrigerator, and like some of them are just ridiculous. Like, you know that they don't require tevila. So why does a refrigerator not require tevila? The same thing. The shelves don't require tevila because the food doesn't go directly on the shelf. Hopefully it goes, you know, in something before it goes on the shelf. Yeah.
Toaster oven?
Yeah.
Do you have to tell anything besides the metal trace?
No, that's the only part that touches the food.
Right.
So the metal, that you take that out.
Even though something has the top of it, it gets a little messy.
Yeah, but that's just from spilling or whatever, incidental. It's not needed for the tikkun hamacha. Right. Yeah, if there's any other kli that I forgot to mention, just let me know, because I should clarify things. So that's a good kasha, right? So that's probably why he discussed it. The drawers that you keep fruit in, why did it not require tefillah? Because they're made out of plastic, is the real answer. But probably if they weren't made out of plastic, it would require tefillah. Yeah.
Practically, you drop in with the cord also, you drop into the mikveh, that would certainly destroy it, no?
What?
When you go to the mikveh, you would actually...
You don't have to put the cord in. The cord is not part of the kli. The cord itself...
You could hold on to it?
You could hold on to the...
That's not you have to drop. Is that would be a problem?
You only have to let it go so that the entire kli can be submerged. Right, we discussed yesterday that it could even hold on to it if you're if you do it the right way and your hand is wet already from the mikvah water, so as long as there's not going to be chatzitza. So yeah, if you were toveling something like that, you could dangle it with the cord. If you were toveling your sandwich maker, you could dangle it with the cord. The other eitzah we said was to get a Jewish electrician to take it apart and put it back together. But again, it's not just unscrewing something and putting it back together. It has to be a ma'aseh uman. Yeah.
What about like on refrigerators? Like on the front of the refrigerator, there's a thing where you place your cup and you push a button and like the water comes out from the front of the fridge. I mean, it could be that, like, you know, the
you're saying there are metal implements in the piping.
I mean, it could be. I don't know.
I have no idea. That's Well, again, then we'd have the svari, even if it were that it's a base of starim, because it's something that you don't see, and anything that's in a base of starim, since there's no din chatzitza base of starim, so Rav Nata Greenblatt was willing to be samech on such a svara that you wouldn't, if the whole chiv tevila is only inside the base of starim, you wouldn't require tevila. So we have that svara also. Okay, so that is, right, we're done with electrical kalim. Is there anything, the Foreman grill is one that we're asked a lot about. It's the same thing as a sandwich maker, right? So whatever you hold about that, according to Rav Schachter, it's fine. You don't need to do the tefillah. According to others, do the tefillah, let it sit for a week. That's what Deborah Sina suggested. And don't worry, you'll be fine, unless it's not, and then it won't be fine. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. If it needs tefillah, it needs tefillah. Okay, next. So the topic I want to talk about tonight are what materials are chayiv in tefillah, what materials are not chayiv in tefillah. So the Gemara discusses this issue already. And the Gemara tells us basically two rules. The Gemara says, kli matchos are chayiv in tefillah. Kelim that are made out of metal are chayiv in tefillah. And if you look at the Gemara, says in Ein Heim Beis, five lines before the front lines get wide. I know we haven't used the Gemara in a while, so I was almost going to stop bringing it to Shir. Amar Ravashi, Hani Klei Zuchuchis, Hol V'chi Nishtabru, Yesh Len Takana, Kikli Marchas Dami. That glass kelim, since if they break, you can fix them so they have the same din as metal. I mean, what's the unique characteristic of metal? We're told in the Torah is chayiv in tefillah, because those were the kinds of kelim in the parsha by the Klei Midyan that we were told about. So, what is the when the Rabbanan were going to be gozer things that are similar to metal? They're going to be gozer things that are similar in what quality and what characteristic? The characteristic that if there's a break, if there's a crack, you can melt it together and meld it together using heat, and that way fix it. Right, so by glass, it's possible to do that. I personally don't know how to do it, but it's possible to do that. If the glass has a crack, you can fix it by welding it together somehow. So since you could do that with glass, so that's why it's going to have the same status as metal. That's all the Gemara really says. Now, what we know, therefore, is that other kelim are not chayiv in tevila, kelim that are not klei zechuchis or klei mateches. Now, the question we're going to run into, and we're going to have a major discussion about, is what about new types of materials that have this characteristic, but weren't around in the times of Chazal for Chazal to be gozer on? Yeah.
And there's also certain types of materials that you know, shatter very, you know, like they'll shatter.
Right, that's also, right? What about things that are... So there are several questions we're going to have. Let's just outline all the questions at the beginning. Number one, well, it's really going to be number two, so let me go back. Number one, really number one now, what about metals that the Torah didn't speak about? There are certain metals that we didn't discover yet at the time of the Chasimus HaTalmud that are much more modern, and are those included in the Torah's requirement to be tovel metals? And it's not only a din about tefilas kelim, it's a din about kabbalas tuma also. Do they have a din of klei mateches? Whereas that only those metals that the Torah specifically identifies, maybe only those are called metal. Question number two we're going to deal with are, what about other kelim that have the same characteristic as glass, in that, as glass and metal, in that they can be melted together if they break, such as plastic. Plastic can be melted down and then it could be turned back into one unit. You could fix it. It doesn't have to remain broken forever. So does plastic therefore have the din? If there were gozer on glass, maybe had plastic existed at the time, they would have been gozer on plastic also. Or maybe not just they would have been gozer, maybe they were gozer. Maybe they just didn't phrase the gzeira as klei zechuchis, they phrased the gzeira as things that are like klei mateches, things that are similar to klei matchos in the sense that they can be repaired. And then the third shaila we're going to have to deal with is, what about things that are really just like glass in terms of the way they're made, but in terms of the way they break, They're not like glass. That it breaks in a way where, for whatever reason, because of slight modifications in the way that it's made, it doesn't quite have the chance to be fixed the same way glass has the chance to be fixed. So, okay, we'll try to get to all of those things. And then we're also going to have to discuss if kelim are made of different materials, multi-part kelim. So what the status is, how do you know whether to treat it as, let's say it's made partially of wood, partially of metal. Wood does not need tefillas kelim, metal does. So do you treat it as a wood kli, a metal kli? And then we're going to finally discuss klecheres. Klecheres are not chayiv in tefillah, very clearly not chayiv in tefillah. What about our dishes? Our dishes are primarily cheres, but they have a glaze over them, that's why they're so smooth. On the outside, the surface of it is so smooth because it has a glaze. So things that are glazed, a glazed china, so is that can be considered something that requires tefillah or does not require tefillah? And that's obviously extremely nogeya lemaisa. Every couple, when they get married, they obviously have a whole new set of dishes that they have to think about toveling, and there's a lot to tovel in the first place when you're starting a new household. So it's a major issue whether you need to bring all the china to the keli mikvah. So let's start at the beginning. Shulchan Aruch took us a week. We got to Sif Aleph now. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph, it's on page one over here, right at the bottom of the page. Hakonam Yovel Chavim Klei Suda Shal Mateches O Shal Zechuchis O Kelim Amtsuf Mevir Mibefnim Afalpishim Chadashim Tzarech La Tvilam B'Mikvah Mayin Shal Abraham Sa'a. Shulchan Aruch just tells me, what needs Tvila? Metal, glass. The line of Afalpishim Chadashim is to add what? Right, that goes back to our original discussion. Meaning, the point is that tefillas kelim has nothing to do with hagalas kelim. Even though it's new, there are no blios, there's nothing else like that. Remember, this is Sif Aleph, so he's not assuming we know everything that we know already for the last week. So tefillas kelim is its own mitzvah. Now, so it's very clear what does need tefillas kelim. Says the Pischei Tshuva right there on the Shulchan Aruch. It's in source number 2. Pischei Tshuva quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Shelis Yaivitz. Kelim abayim in Medina Siyam shenikra'im partzalayin, otherwise known as, I would assume, porcelain kelim. V'domen l'kli zechuchis, they're very much like glass. So does porcelain require tvila? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, ein srichen tvila l'fi sheyadua sha'asiyasan min achol u'min ha'adama u'klimarchus amurin b'parsha. Why does it not require tefila? Because the Torah tells us that metal kelim require tefila, not kelim made out of things like sand. But wait a second, glass is made out of sand and doesn't require tefila midaraisa, but it does require tefila midarabanan. Shouldn't porcelain be the same thing? V'avagav deshi itfe leslan bada kli zechuchu shi itfe minayhu v'ilav mishum dechi nishpru yesh lehem takana lahaticham dimishum hachi kli maticha shavinu hayutzrichen tefila. Or it should be lo hayutzrichen tevila is what it seems like a typo in the I didn't see if it was the Bar Ilan's typo or the Shulchan Aruch's typo, but it's a typo. It should be lo hayutzrichen tevila. V'hani leslo achtakanta, meaning glass kelim. This is going to answer question number 3 first, right? The third question that we asked was, what about things that are made in a very similar way to glass but don't quite share that same characteristic that glass has in the sense that it's easy to fix? So, and the example of that is porcelain. Made similar to glass, but doesn't have that same characteristic. So glass requires tefillah midrabanan only because efshel latichan, it's easy to fix it. Other such kelim that are not so easy to fix would not, and aren't metal, would not require tefillah. So that is the Pischei Tshuva. I think that's relied upon by the large majority of poskim, even in Sefer Tefillas Kelim, where he generally is not a lahachmir on most issues, as you would expect from someone who dedicated the amount of research that he did into this inyan of tefillas kelim. But I think even he says that doesn't require tefillah at all. That porcelain doesn't require tefillah at all. The more interesting issue is aluminum. Aluminum is something that's very, very commonly used in all our pots and pans. We spoke about the chad pa'mi pans that are all aluminum, but also our real pots and pans are aluminum. And the issue is that aluminum is a relatively new metal. It's not something that existed in the times of the Gemara. It's not something that existed certainly when we got the Torah. And the Torah tells us that there are six metals that are have a din of metal. The Torah, when it talks about Kabbalah's Tumah, when it talks about the Kalim, identifies six particular metals. Aluminum is obviously not on the list, right? So what's the status? Does it require Tefillas Kalim? Does it not require Tefillas Kalim? There are several tshuvas in Poskim about this. Yeah?
What are those six metals?
In English, I'm not sure what they are. I'm not sure. You have to check your local stone chumash. The first tshuva we're going to do is not even a tshuva relating to Tevilas Kalim. It's a tshuva about Tumah. Right? Rav Moshe was asked if a Kohen is allowed to fly on an airplane that's carrying a dead body. And the problem is that even if the body is in a compartment which is underneath where the passenger section of the plane is, it's in the cargo area of the plane, and there's no way to get from the cargo area to the passenger area, they seal it off and however they do it, however El Al works it out. I think they have like a special mace compartment where you can't get to that compartment from the passenger area, and that way it's no issue of sof to malatzes or anything like that. So the svara is that wherever you have a mace, as long as there's a tefach of airspace above him, the ceiling of where he is going to stop the tumah from going up. So the floor of the passenger section, which is the ceiling of the cargo section, is more than a tefach above the coffin, and therefore the tumah should stop right there, and it shouldn't be a problem at all for Kohanim to fly. However, says Rav Moshe, the airplane is made out of metal. And since it's made out of metal, the halacha is anything that's mekabel tumah is not going to be chotzeit b'fnei tumah. So metal, which itself is going to be mekabel the tumah of the mace, can't stop the tumah. So the tumah is going to go straight through. And that's therefore going to be a problem for Kohen to fly. Rav Moshe doesn't discuss it. We discussed during the year when we were learning Ksuvos, we discussed the issue of not even if a mace is on the plane, even if a mace is not on the plane, but you're flying near a cemetery, which we pointed out in many cities, there are cemeteries not far away from the airport because live people complain about noise pollution. They complain about noise, and dead people don't complain so much about noise. And the airport makes a lot of noise, so they put the dead people around the airports. That's just, you know, smart planning. It's efficient planning of the space. So, or at any point over in your journey, you might be passing over a cemetery. That also should be a problem, according to this idea. A metal kli can't stop the tumah. The whole kli becomes tameh. Everything inside of it becomes tameh, right? So it should be a problem for Kohanim not only to fly on an airplane that has a mace on it, but to fly on an airplane, period, because it might fly over a cemetery.
Is there not a type of a space in the coffin itself?
So the Golol and Dofek are metameh anyway, because probably because of a gezeira, lest there not be a tefach of space for a fat mace or whatever. But yeah, even though there is, we assume there's not. Even though there is, we assume that the tumah is just going to go straight up anyway. So we discussed once before, Rav Schechter has a very nice piece in his Sefer Be'ikvei Atzon explaining why he thinks it's not a problem for a Kohen to fly over a cemetery in an airplane. But Rav Moshe wants to go even further and say, forget about flying over a cemetery, if the mace is on the plane, maybe there's a tzad to be mekel. How could you be mekel? It's metal. So Rav Moshe writes in the, yeah, you have all my notes, you're stuck with all my notes on the side of this thing, I apologize, I made the copies late. Ach yesh la'ayin, source number 3, in the underlined section, do ulai rak elu mine matchel shenemur b'krash shisha minim shem zav kesef nechoshes barzel bedil v'afares hey mekablin tuma v'lo mine macherim. Only the six metals mentioned in chumash, those are the ones that are mekablin tuma, nothing else. Uktsas hayinirakein miduhutzra chakra lachshivim b'pratius v'lo b'klal. He says, you know, the raya to that is, why doesn't the Torah just tell me metal is mekablin tuma? Why does it have to start identifying this metal, that metal, the other metal? So obviously the Torah is telling me it's not a din in metal. There's no such din as a din in metal. It's a din in these materials. These materials are mekabel tumah. Ach kol devar matchos uklapei shamay galia sheika od mine matchos shalchein pirtel nashmian sherak elu mekabel tumah v'lo mine matchos acherim. Meaning, says Rav Moshe, so you're going to tell me, no, you know why the Torah only identifies these six metals? Because those are the only ones that existed. So it was the same thing as telling me all the metals. Now that we have other metals, so maybe that should also be included. Rav Moshe says, you can't say that. That's like a shtickle up your courses. Because that's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't realize that, oh, look, I put aluminum into the Bria. No, he HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized in the Torah, right, when the Torah was written and dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, he realized that this is a Torah not just for the generation that was Mekabel the Torah, it's a Torah for all generations. And if other metals that had yet to be discovered were also included in the din of these metals, of these six metals, then they should have also been either specified or said in a more general term that would include them as well, and they weren't. So there's no such din to come to include all of these other metals. Basically, Rav Moshe says there's a concept of shnei ksuvin abayin keechad, that when you have the Torah tell me one thing in one place and then it tells me a similar din somewhere else, that you don't learn that to kol haTorah kulo. When the Torah tells me something in one place, so the standard is binyanav. When the Torah tells me a chiddush in one place, you say, okay, so let's learn that out. Let's apply that to kol haTorah kulo, or within that whole area of Torah, whether it be Tumah Tahara, Issur V'Heter, whatever it is. When you have shnei ksuvin abayin keechad, what the Torah is telling me is the reason I told it to you in two places is because these are the only two places to apply it. Don't apply it anywhere else. Says Rav Moshe, this is Shisha Ksuvin Abayin Keechad, that the Torah is giving me six psukim, six words, to tell me that it's dafka these. Don't apply this din anywhere else. The airplane, kamaduma, she'enu mishisha minim ad choseilu. Says Rav Moshe, an airplane is not made out of gold, it's not made out of silver, it's not made out of copper, it's not made out of any of these six metals. He says, but the thing is, you need to really discuss this with someone who knows a lot about the metals. You need to discuss with a scientist to really figure out what they actually are made of. Because sometimes they're not going to tell you it's made out of gold. They'll tell you some name of a metal, but sometimes it's a combination of several other metals. Now, if it's a combination of several other metals, amongst them, some of the metals that are mentioned in the Torah, like iron, let's say, or something like that, then it could be that it would have a din of a klei mateches. Rav Moshe says you'd go basarov. You'd have to look at what the rov ingredient is. If rov of the ingredients are metals that are actually in the Torah, then it would be rov. But he says, if you're able to be mevarer, that it's all aluminum, let's say, so it's not a kabel tuma. Rav Shechter, when he quotes this piece from Rav Moshe in Bikvei Hatzon, he says, Mehechi tesi to say such a humongous chiddush like this, that it's only referring to the six metals, such a tremendous chiddush. It seems that this tremendous chiddush is fairly widely accepted in the poskim, that other poskim also were either mechavin to it or thought that it made a lot of sense that it should be limited to these six metals. Good. So that's for Moshe Shita. Now, if that's the case, if aluminum does not have a din of metal, Minatorah, so then aluminum needs tefillah or doesn't need tefillah? So, nu, what do you say, Misvara? Now, what do you do with aluminum in terms of tefillah's kelim? Nu, what do you taina? Drabanan. Why drabanan?
Because it breaks the same way as glass.
So it should have the same status as glass, because it has the same characteristic as glass. Here's where you're going to run into problems. Plastic needs tefillah or doesn't need tefillah? Plastic, we generally are taught, does not need tefillah. Plastic also has the same characteristic as glass. So if we're going to say, well, aluminum should have the same characteristic because it shares a similar characteristic as glass, it was never included in the original Gzeira because they didn't have it. Say the same, but you still want a taina that it should need tevila midrabanan. You should say the same thing about plastic, that it should need tevila midrabanan. Yeah?
Why is aluminum like glass?
It has the same characteristic that if it breaks, you can fix it. So it's like a metal. It's even, right? It's like...
It's,
if it were to crack, right? If you were to, I don't know, stick a knife and stab it, if it were to crack, you'd be able to fix it. That's metals, all the metals. Gold, silver, copper, iron, all of them. They all have that same characteristic. It must be one of the characteristics of what defines a metal problem. Yeah?
So why can't you say the same story we said, like the porcelain, you say it's made from, plastic is made from, like, raw materials, from earth, I don't know exactly what, but it's like...
Same as aluminum. Aluminum is not made from any of the other six metals. It's made from some, and it's not made from glass, it's something else. It's another kind of metal that's not a din of metal minatora. So if you're going to hold aluminum is requires tefillah midrabanan, and you hold the Rav Moshe Svara, then you should hold that glass requires that plastic requires tefillah midrabanan also. So you have a couple of ways to go. One way to go is reject Rav Moshe Svara. Say, no, the Torah meant all metals. And the Torah just listed the six metals that were either most common or were around at the time, but it's not Shish Ksum Abam Kechad. It's the Torah giving several examples of something that's true of all metals. Maybe, yeah.
So when we, for like an aluminum foil, you know, that can't be molded together, that shares a characteristic of the original item?
Yeah, well, yeah, I would think that the idea is
from whatever material. Not
yeah,
just
right. It's based on the material, exactly, not based on the kli. Because maybe it's done so thin that you'd have to melt the whole thing down again to reform it, and it would be panam chadash as well. But it's based on the actual, right, the actual item itself. Now, Rav Moshe, when he talks about tefillas kelim of aluminum, so he has to deal with this issue. He has a tshuva about tefillas kelim of aluminum. So Rav Moshe starts and says, the fact that they didn't have it at the time, at the time of Matan Torah, is totally irrelevant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created aluminum also. So the fact that, don't tell me, oh, it wasn't mentioned because it didn't exist. No, it existed, it was there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it was there. We just weren't yet smart enough to find it. Right, that's a very important yisod. Reminds me of the story Rav Shachter likes to tell about the Chaznish, about the guy who comes to the Chaznish and says, you know, I can't get into Torah because you guys are learning the same Torah for thousands of years and it's the same thing and it never changes. And yet when it comes to science, there's a new discovery every day and it's always new and it's always exciting. There's always something brand new. So I would rather learn newer things. So the Chaznish said, no, you got it exactly opposite. When it comes to science, everything was here the whole time. We just weren't smart enough to chop it. We weren't smart enough to put two and two together and figure out how it works. Aluminum was there. We just didn't know how to mine it and how to find it and how to produce it and how to. So, but it was there the whole time. So when it comes to Torah, if you make a Kal Vachomer today that no one else thought of before, you create a new Din D'Oraisa that never existed before, which itself is machlokes haposkim, whether that's true or not. But the Chaznish obviously assumed it is true. But anyway, so Rav Moshe says, don't tell me that it didn't exist, Rav Moshe says. It existed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it existed, so that's totally irrelevant. And he says, v'gam, kiven deklei zechuchah shu gam kein davra nitach v'yator midaraisa, v'gam rabbanon shegazra al klei zechuchah lo haya ikur gzei rasam b'shvil d'dami l'matchos el b'shvil d'dami l'kli cheres. He says, you know what? How Klei Zechuchas, how it developed? The gzeira of Klei Zechuchas being Mekabel Tumah, that's also Nidrabanan. It's only Mekabel Tumah Nidrabanan. That was Atu Klei Cheres. That wasn't even Atu Klei Mateches. Because it's really more similar to Klei Cheres. Glass is like somewhere in between. It's more similar to Cheres in the sense of how it's made. And which of the two do you think is more fundamental to the definition of a Kli? How it's made or how it's fixed when it breaks? How it's made, l'chor, is much more fundamental to the definition of a kli. Klei zechuchas is just like klei cheres in how it's made. It's more like klei mateches in how it's fixed if it's broken. But the actual gzera of tum in the first place on klei zechuchas was because it was similar to klei cheres and not to klei mateches. So he says, v'mkein muchrachin lomar, d'lo kol matachos heim b'dinei tumah. But he says, Tvila midrabanan sarich, just like glass. Because since it can be fixed in the same way, so tuma it's not going to have. Tuma midrabanan it's not going to have. What gives glass tuma midrabanan? What gives glass tuma is the fact that it's dometu cheres. The aluminum is not dometu cheres at all. So it's not going to have tuma, but the chiv of tevilas kelim it should have, because that it is similar to other metals, just like glass is similar to metals in the way that it's fixed. Aluminum is similar to other metals in the way that it would be fixed. So that's what Rav Moshe wants to tie in. There are several chidushim that go unmentioned in that paragraph. What Rav Moshe is telling us is that aluminum is not mekabel tuma, but it is chayv in tevilas kelim, which is against the famous yisod of the Shav Yaakov, right? Shav Yaakov's big idea was anything that's not mekabel tuma is never going to need tefillas kelim. But Moshe says, I reject that. I think aluminum is not mekabel tuma is going to require tefillas kelim. So that's a very, very important yisod. We don't yet know how Rav Moshe is going to connect this to how he's going to wiggle out of plastic out of requiring tvila on plastic. Now, at the end of that tshuva, he just happens to give a separate chiddush that, just in case I forget to mention it next week, we'll mention right now very quickly. He discusses what if you're in a situation where you're in a hotel, if you see in the ha'ochel b'malon, hotel. So if you can learn a lot, by the way, just from how he spelled English words in Hebrew. When you have to fill in ksuvas and lo aleinu gittin, you see how to spell certain letters. So why is it tes ayin lamed, not tes aleph lamed? So whenever it's a segel, you always go with the ayin. When it's a kamatz, you would go with an aleph. So you see a lot. It's hotel. That's why it's hey aleph and tes ayin. So you see even the sichas chulin of talmidei chachamim tzrichel nimud, right? This is a lo yibol that even the sichas chulin of gemara and sukkah. Okay, anyway, but Rav Moshe says over there, if you find yourself in a situation where the kelim have not been toveled, you're in a hotel and you find out that they weren't toveled the kelim. We're going to see on Tuesday. We're going to discuss whether restaurants that are owned by Jews, where the Jew himself, the guy who owns it, never eats there, does he need to tovel the kelim for the people who go there? So let's say you are a person who's eating in that restaurant, and you hold that yes, he does need to tovel the kelim, and he holds that no, he doesn't need to tovel the kelim. So now you're stuck in a restaurant, food is all kosher, right? Under a good hashkacha, there are actually some hashkacha agencies that don't require restaurants to tovel their kelim, crazy as it sounds. So what do you do? So Rav Moshe says, tremendous kula. He says that any kli that's critical to the food, you can't use that kli to eat. But if the kli is not really aiding you in eating that much, you'd be able to eat without that kli very easily, then you don't have to worry about it in terms of tefillas kelim, the fact that it wasn't done. Now, certainly, if it were your kli, you'd still have a mitzvah of tefillas kelim. You'd still have to do the tefillas kelim. It doesn't take away the chiyuv, but what it does, it takes away the iser to eat from it without tefillas kelim. So says Rav Moshe, a plate that has chicken on it. So the chicken would be fine without the plate. It wouldn't be nice to do, but you could have chicken without the plate. The plate doesn't help you in eating the chicken. If the chicken has gravy, then that would be a problem because you need the plate to hold the gravy. Or if you have a soup bowl, that would be a problem. Or a spoon would be a problem. But anything that, so then you'd have to make cheshbonos of what could I really see doing without over here. And then whatever you could see doing without, Rav Moshe has such a kula. Not everyone accepts that kula, but again, that's Rav Moshe's kula. Okay, but getting back, yeah.
Just back, kli charis is makalatama?
Yes. Yeah, mitochel. Not migavav, right? That's some psil, and if you put a lid on it, so then if it's in an ola meis, it's not going to be makabel tumah. You take the lid off, it could be even me'aviro. It has a unique element of tumah that klicheres, even if it doesn't touch the tumah, and the sheretz is just dangling in the avir of the klicheres, it's makabel the klicheres in the airspace of the klicheres. So yeah, it has its own unique dinam of tumah, but yes, it can be makabel tumah. Okay, the Rav Moshe Sternbach has a tshuva about aluminum as well. In source number 5, Rav Moshe Sternbach says, first he just lays out Rav Moshe's chiddush without quoting Rav Moshe, then he just he lays out the two tzadim. Do aluminum kelim require tefila? Tzad number 1 is that it's a metal, and it's at least similar to metals, even if you don't want to hold that, it's as in a metal midaraisa, it's at least similar to metals because it's just like glass. Or you could say, we don't do that with gzeros drabanan. Gzeros drabanan are based on what the Rabbanan were gozer, not what they should have been or would have been gozer had they had our mitzvahs. They were not gozer on aluminum because they didn't have it. So we don't go back. It's like, I think we mentioned once, we don't go back and say, if they would have had potatoes in the places where they started the minhag not to eat kitnias, they probably would have included potatoes in the isra of kitnias, in the minhag of kitnias. So maybe we shouldn't be able to eat potato starch. We shouldn't be able to have potatoes on Pesach. We don't do that. We don't go back in time and say, oh, this is what they would have been noheg. They weren't noheg it. Problem with kitnias is that we sort of do that with a whole bunch of things. They didn't have peanuts, so we have no kidneys and peanuts, and quinoa, many are no egg, has a din of kidneys, even though they obviously never even heard of it. Okay, but anyway, but in terms of Xeris Rabbanan, that's the other side, that they were never gozer in aluminum. So he says that the Chazon Ish held that plastic kelim don't require tevila, and he says because Chazon Ish pointed out Chazal didn't have plastic kelim. So says Rav Shermach l'chora, the same thing should apply to clay aluminum. However, he says clay aluminum are different than plastic because clay aluminum are much more similar to metal. So what? So he says, it's true. The Torah never says anything about a metal. Well, look what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that glass needs tvila because yesh len takana kikli matchos. Why does the Gemara use that word? Why doesn't the Gemara say yesh len takana b'tvila kimo kli zav kesef v'chulei? Where did it come up with this word kli matchos? The Torah doesn't use that term. So apparently the Gemara's magdir the chiv of tevila as being on all kli matchos. Anything that has characteristics of a metal, that would be the geder of the chiv of tevila. Now here's where you could be mechalik between plastic and aluminum. Aluminum, if we take the Gemara's word for it, rather than just the Torah's word for it, how the Gemara's magdir the chiv, so the aluminum definitely fits into that geder. Now, in terms of the, so maybe it's only drabanan, maybe that's what, but whatever it is, the Gemara seems to assume that it has to be like kli matchos.
Moshe would say,
right, that the Gemara didn't have aluminum and didn't know it would be discovered. That you could say. The Rebbeim knew it would be discovered. The Amoraim didn't know that there would be a new metal that was going to be discovered. So they just said it in a more broad terminology. But they obviously meant specifically what the Torah asked. But the Rav Shurmach says something very disturbing. He says, the reason why the six metals are mentioned in the Torah was because when Klal Yisrael was being taught about the dinim of Tevilas Kelim, they had clay Midian. They had actual Kelim from Midian that they had to be taught what to do with them. Well, guess what? They didn't have any aluminum Kelim. So the Torah specifies those not because it doesn't mean to include others, but because in that situation where they're being taught about the dinim of Tevilas Kelim, they only had those Kelim. So those are the ones that are specified. I thought that was very very strange. The Torah is not a storybook. It's not just, oh, because for that story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's writing the Torah, realizes it's not just for that generation. It's very, he doesn't have to record exactly the words of Moshe and Aaron. And, you know, if the Limud L'doros can be better expressed by paraphrasing the words of Moshe and Aaron. Right? It doesn't have to be exactly that he has to say the exact words, a direct quote. There are no quotation marks in the Torah. So I found that very strange, such a svara to say that that the Torah doesn't bother mentioning it because it doesn't fit that story. Who cares? It doesn't fit that story. It fits all of history. So I was a little bit bothered by that. He then quotes from a tshuva of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. You don't have many of those. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a tshuva published in the back of the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, where he also discusses aluminum. It's a fairly complicated tshuva. I included it in the back of the packet. We're not going to go through it now. I didn't realize how early it was going to get late here. But Rabbi Yaakov writes that he's noted to say that aluminum doesn't require tevila at all, that it should be similar to plastic, that l'chora it shouldn't require tevila at all. He says, you know, do it anyway, you might as well, but he's noted to say that really it shouldn't require tevila at all. So in terms of aluminum, the standard accepted psak seems to be that we do tevila, we even do it with a bracha, right? We consider it to be like glass, either for one of two reasons, either because we consider it a metal and the six metals in the Torah are lav dafka, which is what Rav Shechter holds and which is what Rav Sternbach holds, or even if you hold like Rav Moshe, that it's not a metal, but it's at least like glass. It's at least like glass. And maybe it's even better than glass because it shares so many characteristics with metals. But it's at least like glass and therefore should require tevila min haTorah. Yeah.
No one tells.
Not aluminum foil, no. We discussed about disposable things, because disposable things, maybe that's a separate answer. So like aluminum pans also, a lot of people don't tovel because it's chad pam, you use it once, you throw it out. We saw...
That's what Moshe said that he was using it. That No, I'm saying, let's say you were to reuse the, saying you're saying stop this will.
If you're going to use the aluminum pans over and over again, I think most poskim will tell you to tovel them. This is a great sniff lahakel, though.
Right.
If you needed, you needed another svara to be makel with aluminum pans, so then you could say, well, look, it may not even require to in the first place. But when, I mean, it's only a sniff because we're really we pass them, we even make a bracha on it. We risk bracha levatala for this, so it's not a real din lakula. It's okay. Next, plastic. Does plastic require tefillas kelim? So, Rav Sturbach points out, look, they weren't gozer on plastic. Plastic may share a characteristic with glass, but they weren't gozer on it. Now, all the poskim, when you get the idea when you read the poskim, some of them were confused and some of them knew the science involved. Apparently, there are two types of plastic. Some types of plastic, when it develops a hole or a crack, if you expose it to heat, will melt and will actually come together. Other types of plastic, when you expose it to heat, will just harden in its current position. And it's not going to actually become melded together. So some of the poskim start getting confused. Like one says, I don't know why people are saying it's like glass. It's not like glass at all. The plastic that I tried out didn't. Another say, what's he talking about? Of course plastic melts together. So you have to really be careful to know who knows what and who says what. Now, the interesting issue that you have is you don't know in your house what kind of plastic you have, unless like an accident happens where you leave it too close to the stove or something. But you don't really know what kind of plastic you have. So should you say that, look, plastic that shares that characteristic of glass and metals, that might require tefillas kelim. The one that doesn't share that characteristic does not require tefillas kelim. So, and even if it does require tefillas kelim, even those that do require tefillas kelim is only drabanan, like glass, suffix drabanan, lakula. So maybe that's the svara that no plastic should require tefillas kelim, because at the very least, it's a suffix drabanan. So let's see how the post can deal with the plastic. So first of all, the Chelkas Yaakov of Breish says that he points out it's a shaila in the Metzius of exactly how plastic works, whether it really is domel zchuchas and mateches. Again, struggling with this issue, that there are in fact two types of plastics. But he makes a point of saying the following: we don't invent gzeros, like we mentioned before. If the Chachamim included something in the Gezerah, it's in the Gezerah. If they didn't include it, whether it be because they didn't want to include it or whether it be because they didn't know about it, then it doesn't make the Gezerah. It's simply not in the Gezerah. And he quotes the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos and Siman Shin Aleph. The Magen Avraham over there says that the Magen Avraham discusses a gzeira of that you might come to squeeze a garment and you might come to schita, and the Gemara says that they never made such a gzeira on a towel because they couldn't, because there was gzeira shenrov tzibri chal lamudba, not to wash at all over the course of Shabbos, not to wash your hands, face at least, at all over the course of Shabbos. So he says l'chora mashma de bezman hazeh the efshar below rechitza asul is tapek. The only reason they didn't make the gzeira was because people couldn't handle not washing for a day. Says Magen Avraham, people handle not washing for a week around these parts or whatever. You know, there's no problem with that. People could withstand such a gzeira. So what? Now it should be usher. So says Magen Avraham, no, we don't do that. If it wasn't included in the gzeira, even though, given the current metzius, if they were making the gzeira nowadays, we have a strong suspicion they would have included in the gzeira. It wasn't initially included, it doesn't get included, that's it. Machsa Shekel, he quotes, Beis Yosef and Simen Yud Gimel, another application of this, Simen Yud Gimel, which is in Hilchos Tzitzis, right? So Beis Yosef says that if your tzitzis become puzzle while you're in a karmelis on Shabbos, so carrying in the karmelis is only an isid rabbanon. The kavod abrios is doche the isid rabbanon of carrying the other strings that are not a mitzvah, and therefore would be an isra of carrying on Shabbos, but it's only an isra drabanan. So the kavod abrios, you shouldn't have to remove your clothing out in the middle of the karmelis. You're allowed to keep the tzitzis on, even though they became possible, even though one corner was cut off of the tzitzis. You're still allowed to keep the tzitzis on. So frekt the Beis Yosef, but nowadays, where we don't have tzitzis as our only clothing, we're wearing a shirt over it and a t-shirt under it. We have plenty of other layers. We have a jacket on that. We don't need the tzitzis for kavod abrios sake. So maybe now there should be a gzeira that you should have to remove it in the karmelis. So he says, no, They didn't make such a gzeira. They would have. Would have is not our business. They didn't. And if they didn't make such a gzeira, then there is no such gzeira. So that's the raya that the post can bring. Now what's interesting in this Chelkas Yaakov, discussing plastic, he says, so because of that, because we can't go back into Chazal's brains and say, oh, they would have been gozer plastic, we can't do that. Plastic was not included in the gzeira. And therefore he says, Lufi Anias Daiti, Ein L'Tovlan Af B'li Bracha. Don't be Tovlan them, even if you're not going to make a bracha. Now, that's a little different than saying pater mitvila. Ein l'tavlan is saying, don't be tovalem. And he says, someone who wants to be machmir, ein maznichno so. Okay, you don't have to make a macha about it, you don't have to embarrass him, you know, but don't do it. Now, why is he so strong about don't do it? Just say, you don't have to do it. So this is a very important yesod about chumras. This is a very, very chashuv yesod about chumras. That chumras are something you have to be very careful with. If the chumra is likely to be bali de kula, or to compromise halacha in some other way, then you don't accept such a chumra. We should not, and it's usur to accept such a chumra. When you say that certain things are going to require tevila, most people, when they go to the kelim mikvah, make a bracha on the tevila. And a lot of times, people don't know that certain kelim require a bracha, others don't require a bracha. So things that we have a legitimate suffix about, we'll say, okay, do tefillah without a bracha. And every once in a while, someone might make a mistake. It's not the end of the world, because it's a real suffix. Maybe it really did require a bracha. But you can have something that really we know what the halacha is. And the halacha is it doesn't require tefillah. You're going to tell people it requires tefillah, they're going to start doing it with a bracha. Or somebody's going to do it with a bracha. It's going to be a bracha levatala. That's going to cause a compromise in the halacha. We're not allowed to compromise halacha for a chumrah. So he says, you can't. Don't bring it to tefillah. So, and then another important yesod, he says, also, just derech agav, he says, you're asking me to paskin whether plastic requires tefillah. This is not a psak halacha for my community. It's not even a psak halacha for my country. This is a psak halacha for the world. He says, I'm not the posik to paskin for the whole world on my own. He says, im yaskimu gam shari harabanim. I need other rabbanim also to sign on with me. This is a klaliyistik psak that's nogaya to the whole world. It used to be that certain psakim were considered klaliyistik psakim, and certain psakim were considered private psakim. Before the internet, where the people that run yeshiva world could just type in, Rav Eliashiv holds that you're not allowed to wear Crocs on Yom Kippur, right? So it used to be that people would ask those kinds of shailas locally, and other kinds of shailas were more broad. Right, but so he says this is a broad shaila. This isn't just about me. This is something that you need other poskim as well. Minchas Yitzchak says that plastic does require tevila. He says it requires tevila simply because it's like zechuchas, and he thinks that we can go back into the minds of Chazal and say clearly they told us why they were gozer on zechuchas. They were gozer on zechuchas for the very clear reason that it's similar to mateches, and plastic has the same similarity. But Minchas Yitzchak was aware of the two different types of plastic, and he's the first one to raise the shaila. Maybe you can say on all plastic safek drabanan lekula, because you don't know which kind of plastic you have. So he says, no, you can't say that. Why can't you say Safek Rabban Lekula over here? Because it's not a regular Safek. It's a Safek Machmas Chisaron Yediya. A Safek that is simply because I didn't do the research is not called a Safek. Like we gave the example before. If I have two hamburgers in front of me, one is from, two sandwiches in front of me, one is from Burgers Bar and one is from Subway on Central Avenue. I don't know which is which. So I can't say, okay, if I close my eyes, I mean, I do know which is which. I know that one's from Burgers Bar, that one's from Subway. So I can't say, well, if I close my eyes, I won't know which is which. And then I'll just take one and suffix, right? You're not going to, or, you know, if let's assume we're only Nisid Rabbanan, right? So, which it's not. It's obviously Yisurim Daraisa. Basar B'chalav and Nevela and Trefa is Daraisa. So, but assuming we're only Nisid Rabbanan. So you can't close your eyes and say Safik. Safik, if the Safik is simply that you didn't do the research, you need to do the research. That's Safik Machmas Chesru Nidia. So Minchas Yitzchak says, don't tell me about Safik over here. He says, well, maybe even without Machmas Chesru Nidia, there's another reason why you can't say Safik Rabban Lekula. Tefillas Kelim might be a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. And we've discussed, Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin has two unique halachos associated with it. Number one, it's not batel, And number two, on a suffik davar sheish lamatirin, we're always machmir. Even if it's a svek svek, a daraisa on a davar sheish lamatirin, or a suffik darabanan, on a davar sheish lamatirin, we're always machmir. On a suffik davar sheish lamatirin. So he has a whole nother tshuva. He quotes, he says, look what I wrote in Minchas Yisrael Chelek Aleph Simin Mem Hei, which I thought was funny because he misquoted himself. It's really Simin Mem Dalet in Minchas Yitzchak. But I think I made a photocopy of that. He has a major discussion about the Gedarim of Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin, because we know the Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerodea from our Sunday Shurim that if something doesn't have Hagolas Kelim, if it hasn't been kashered, that the Kli is not called the Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin because it's very difficult to kasher it. It takes a lot of expenses and trouble to go and kasher something. So right away the diuk everyone wants to make is, but Tefilas Kelim, what's the big deal? Just go to the river where you bathe and where you wash your clothing and where you get your water and where, you know, the river that every town seemed to have where everyone did everything. So just go there and do Tefilas Kelim. That's no big deal, right? So Tefilas Kelim should be a Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin. But he says it's not so pashut. What if you're a hotel? And it's not about just, you know, throwing a few kelim into the car and going to the kelim mikveh and toveling it. No, it's about renting a truck, hiring workers who are going to load the truck with thousands and thousands of dishes, having other people at the kelim mikveh toveling them for hours on end, filling up the truck, washing all those dishes. Now you're talking about an expense, because this is everything's going to cost money. Getting people to work for you all that time, that's a real expense. So he says maybe it's not a davar sheyesh lamatirin, because if it's something that costs money, that's trouble and money, is not yesh lamatirin. Now that's very, I thought that was very fascinating, because I never would have said that. I would have said, this plate a davar sheyesh lamatirin? This plate is very easy. I can bring this to the mikvah, I can throw it in my car. The next one, and 10,000 individual plates are all davar sheyesh lamatirin. The fact that there happens to be in large numbers changes the status of each individual plate as davar sheyesh lamatirin. I wasn't so sure about that. I don't know. I mean, he's Minchas Yitzchak, but I don't know about that. Yeah.
According to Moshe, that aluminum. So according to Moshe, you can also go back into the minds of the chum if you go there. Anytime you're going to say something
right.
Similar to that.
Right. And then the question is still out there. What about plastic? So to answer that question, or at least to throw another svara into the mix. In the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, which is in source number 8 over here, a footnote from the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, he writes another svara to say a difference between plastic and aluminum. He says maybe you could say the following in the underlined section, in the beginning of the underlined source number 8. Yesh makom lomar didavka b'klei zechuche shegazru gazru aval ein lan l'chadish b'kelim acherim. Only in Klei Zechuchas where they made the gzera, but not by other kelim. V'gam near an advarim de lo rak mashiyeshon takana gorim ele ikra inyan. Ah, here it is. Ele ikra inyan chashivus de klei mateches asuyin lekavod udmein yikarim kedamar chulin chafei. V'achinami Klei Zechuchas legodel chashivusan v'gam yeshon meyisron shalatacha kavim chachamim kama amateches. He says, what made Chazal equate glass with metal? Not only the fact that it can be fixed the same way as metal. That was the final straw that Chazal said, oh, it can be fixed the same way as metal, so it goes out to metal. But it has to first be in the same parsha as metal to begin with, to even entertain the question of whether we should be goes out to metal. What puts it in the same parsha as metal? The fact that it's chashuv. The fact that it's a real kli, it's expensive, it's important, it's going to last a long time, right? Something like that. Plastic is not even chashuv to begin with. So it wouldn't have even entered the parsha, meaning what everyone else is taking for granted, which is that if Chazal had plastic, obviously they would have been gozer on plastic, because after all, it can be fixed the same way that metal can be fixed, says the Sefer Tefilas Kelim in the name of somebody in the Sefer Chidushim Ubiurim. So he says that no, that it's not going to be, that it's, I'm not so convinced that Chazal. Why do we not go into the minds of Chazal? Not only because we're not allowed to, because sometimes we're wrong when we try to climb back into the minds of Chazal and try to figure things out. And we would be wrong over here. Chazal never would have been gozer on plastic. That's what he wants to suggest. And then he goes into the whole issue of whether in fact it's usher to be tovel plastic or only not recommended. Just in the last 2 minutes, just want to mention very quickly, the wood stuff we'll skip. It's not so nogei l'maisa, other than just to say, in Shulchan Aruch it's very clear, if you have any kli that primarily is made of material that does not require tevila, but has like a blade, let's say, that is made out of metal to cut something, like if you have a food processor or something that's all plastic but it's got metal blades, those blades require tevila, right? Those, if you have a pepper grinder, if you go to a restaurant sometimes, they'll grind pepper directly onto your soup or your food, so it looks like wood on the outside, but on the inside there's a metal blade that grinds it up. If that blade is not separable from the rest of it, so you dip the whole thing in the mikveh, it does require tevila if the primary functioning element of it is metal. There's another din of maimid, possible din of maimid, that if the metal helps the kli, enables the kli to stand, it makes the kli whole, the kli doesn't fall apart because of metal screws, metal parts of the kli, and the metal touches the food, that would require tefillah, midrabanan, b'li bracha, or misafek, b'li bracha. But if the metal is only a maimid but never actually touches the food, then it wouldn't require tefillah at all. That's why by the Keurig, even though it's got some screws, those screws never touch the food, so you don't have to worry about the maimid element of the Keurig coffee machine. But the last thing I just wanted to mention, because I want to move on to a new topic on Tuesday, is klei cheres. Klei cheres do not require tefillah. There's a major discussion in the Poskim about glazed klei cheres. All of our klei cheres are very smooth because they have a glass layer over it. The Aruch HaShulchan and many other poskim say that makes it have a din of klei zechuchis, and therefore it requires tevila. However, Rav Moshe and others held that's only if the glaze was a really thick layer. Ours, it's such a thin thing, they spray it on. It's not even something that it's a very, very thin dachistic level of glass. That would definitely be batel to the kli, the way, and therefore would not require tefillah. That's the way I think my rebbeim have paskin for me when I've asked them in the past about tefillahs kelim on dishes, that dishes are not required tefillahs kelim. Rabbi Moshe David Tendler used to give the tefillahs kelim shiurim in YU, and in his inimitable style used to say that when Chassan first gets married and he brings his kala to the keli mikvah with all of the, he shows it, his kala that he's so frum that he's bringing the all the dishes to the keli mikvah, it's such an overt display of amaratzus, it should have passed the shidduch meikara. That was his line. But okay, so he's not a fan of it. That means he doesn't like it. But, okay. So Baruch Hashem, Tuesday night we're going to move on to other topics.